beyond the desecration of graves and the opening of testaments. But Peter said, I have never eaten anything common or unclean. Acts 10, verse 14. The attitude of the Pharisees was not only false over against the past, but also over against their contemporaries who, each on their own, had a different view of the past. The Pharisees remained only negative. They were not only negative over against those who blatantly desecrated the graves of the prophets, but also over against those who carefully opened the testaments of those prophets and wanted to read them. But notice that over against this simple negative attitude, which is typical of the Pharisees, the Christ, who came to resist them, considered it his task to place the correct, positive attitude. This was an attitude of fulfillment, of full positivity. Christ did not only want to resist the Pharisees, but also be victorious over them. Out of his fullness, he also wanted to find atonement for many of the Pharisees by his own obedience to God. For this reason, he always placed his own active and passive obedience positively over against the graves and over against the testaments of the prophets. Over against their graves, for he honored their memory. That was his positive attitude over against the desecration of graves. And in regards to the testaments, did he not read them and implement them to the last letter? That was his positive attitude to the opening of testaments. But now one more step yet. That positive attitude to two sides was not only brought to perfection by the Christ, but was also founded in the unity of his singular, indivisible, redemptive work. He honored the remembrance, the graves of the prophets, exactly in this, and only in this, that he opened their testaments and perfectly executed them. He fulfilled the testaments of the prophets so well that he, by honoring their graves, saw his own grave being appointed among the ungodly. Did you ever pay attention to that naive expression of Peter when he was shown in a vision that from then on the gospel also was allowed to go out to the heathens? He saw a sheet come down from heaven by an invisible hand and discovered all kinds of animals, which according to the law of Leviticus 11 and Deuteronomy 14, were not allowed to be eaten by a proper child of Abraham. Yet a voice said that he indeed was allowed to eat of that food, even had to eat of it. And listen now to what that great child said, that strong Simon Peter, that full-grown man, who for 3 years had walked day by day at the side of him who was crucified by the Pharisees, as an instigator of revolution. Lord, I have never yet eaten anything that was common or unclean. This was no well-considered argument, carefully formulated by a lawyer, to deny the Pharisaic charge that this Nazarene had been a revolutionary. Oh no! It was a naive and involuntary announcement of a fact. But exactly because of that, it appeals particularly to us. It suddenly presents us with a glimpse of the lifestyle within the circle of Christ and his disciples for 3 years. In this circle, apparently, nothing was ever eaten that was prohibited by the law. That was the rule among them. Later, Nicolaus would preach his adiaphora, his indifference to food and lifestyle sermons. It didn't matter at all. But Christ thought differently about that. And this incident shows us that Christ stood above the level of desecration of graves and that of careless or superficial opening of testaments. He often told the Pharisees, "Whatever enters the mouth does not defile a man." The external cleansing is not the important factor. Everything God created is good. That was a deed of correct opening a testament. For by stripping the law of the shadows of physical interpretation of the Pharisees, Christ revealed the true meaning of the testaments of the prophets and preached that to his people. But at the same time, he respected the graves of the prophets. He did not carelessly build something else over top of the graves, but built in line with those graves. Only when all the prophets had been fulfilled in Christ, and he had brought the dispensation of prophecy to its legitimate end in himself, he would build the new temple, in which they would slaughter and eat everything that is prepared by God. In this, therefore, this same Christ is also salvation to us. He endured it when the Pharisees, who themselves most severely desecrated the graves of the prophets by their wicked decorations, appointed a grave for him among criminals, as if he had profaned the graves of God's prophets. He endured it when the scribes and the priests, who continuously hid the testaments of the prophets and also wanted to suppress the New Testament, for which prophecy had called, struck him, the Christ, to a pillory among cursed ones who were unable to lawfully provide testaments, since they were cursed. But in all this, he passively and actively delivered us in obedience, and taught us that a positive attitude over against the desecration of graves can never be separated from a positive attitude about the opening of testaments. The only way to honor the graves of the prophets is this: fulfill their testament. Leave the dead with the dead, but walk with the eternal living one on his way, which was also their way. One can only honor the Old Testament by entering the New Testament. One can only honor our current day and also the graves of one's father and mother and the great ones in the church if one quickly seeks the last day. Come, Lord Jesus, yes, come quickly. This cry is proof that Christ has gained the victory, for he has become the concrete unity of obedience in regards to the desecration of graves and the opening of testaments. Obedience, also in today's Church of Christ. Yes, I come quickly, and my reward is with me. That promise is proof that Christ also makes those who are his own into victors. His reward is with him. The graves of the faithful witnesses, which their enemies dared to strike in an anti-Christian revolution and desecrated and scorned because of their Christian opening of testaments, he will open up, justify their name, and grant their justification even to such matters as the hair of their head. For they are all recorded in his own testament, the given ones of the Father.